His name is David Luke Fladman, Commander of the Armies of the West, General of the Somerset Regions, loyal servant to the true Emperor, Thomas George Llewellyn Shanklin, father to a noisy cat, husband to a vegan, and he will have a salad in this life or the next. It's time for Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, my go.
You did it last time.
Paper, scissors, stone.
All right.
On one, three or after three?
After three. One, two, three. Bang. I win. Hello, everybody.
Tell them what you had.
What?
Tell them what you had.
I had scissors, you had paper. You're so predictable. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this bonus summer pod. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
Okay, Tom.
Hi, Dave.
You all right?
Very good. How are you?
Good, yeah. Why are we here?
We're just doing a bonus pod, mate. Why do you think we're here?
Yeah. Whose idea was it?
Mine. Standard.
Who went along with it to be a good guy?
Me.
Me.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I mean, you are the other half of this duo.
But I'm here
and
for...
And then he said comedy then.
I'm here for all seven of our fans, and I'm here for you, okay?
We've got more than seven fans, mate.
I know we have, mate. I'm just trying to be falsely modest. Falsely humble. I'm staying falsely
what
humble.
What rugby pod do you reckon has the most fans?
Well, probably Ugo's BBC one, because BBC's got massive coverage. Don't know.
And that's a rugby pod, isn't it? I mean, a rugby podcast.
Yeah.
This is more of a what you've been up to podcast. With some and a little bit of rugby.
A rugby vein running
but
through it.
But we felt that there's been a lot of action, mostly rugby, over the summer.
Cool,
a lot of
there?
Tours.
So much rugger.
And we thought we'd give you this bonus podcast, which you don't have to pay for, I'd like to add.
Like my granny always used to say to her boss at work, feel free to...
Change my...
Bonus. No, it's too... Sorry, it's too much. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
God rest her soul.
We're going clean, David.
Gould, I miss her.
And... don't start.
Yeah, I don't get you going, will I?
But hey, yeah, we're keeping us clean.
Yeah,
that's
clean.
The route we're going down.
Yeah, we're not...
I mean, jokes can be fun. Chat can be fun without swearing. And I've learned that. I learned that the hard way.
You learned that the hard way in the working man's clubs of South Wales.
Yeah.
Transferring your valley skills to the big city.
I learned that in church.
Now, you've had a bit of a... Tommy and I spoke on the way over here, dear listeners, and not about much else, just like, what time are you getting there? About 10 minutes. What about you? About 15. All right, bye. But you had a bit of road rage on the phone, didn't you, fella?
No, I didn't.
Yes,
not
you
like
did.
That. I'm not like that, mate.
Tommy, I rarely hear you lose your temper, but you lost the plot.
Yeah.
You found
I did.
It yet?
Yeah.
You found it yet?
I nearly pulled over.
Is
I nearly,
it?
I nearly took him on.
Is it?
Went around the outside. I nearly put my brakes on and got out of the car. Red Ross came out, mate.
Did he?
Yeah.
Would you have had him?
There's not many people that have seen me go, but just get out. Get out if you do.
Like Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, I'd be a whirlwind.
So would you have had him in a fight?
Oh, definitely, mate. I mean, you'd... That is number one rule, isn't it? Just in general, in the car, in the street, wherever, you don't pick on someone if they're bigger than you.
No. Having said that...
Mind you'd struggle probably... There are people bigger than you, I know that.
Loads, yeah.
A lot of them are in hospital, but...
a lot of them can't get out of their homes.
A lot of them,
a winch.
A lot of them are in America, but you don't, do you?
No.
And I knew, I could tell. He had his arm out the window and... I could not see any definition in it.
Really?
Yeah.
He don't lift?
No.
You thought, he don't lift, I'll snap his back. That's what you thought to yourself, isn't it?
Well, I thought I'd just go ape.
I'll just go mad for blitzing for 30 seconds and it'll
all
be over.
I'll do 30 on, 30 off. 30 on, minute off, maybe.
Yeah, and give him a straw for his dinner.
Been repping sets of 20 in the gym at the moment, just trying to get a bit more fat burn and get a nice pump on for the summer.
Yeah, you're looking all right, actually.
It's Love Island season, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Well, Shanks has been sending topless pictures to me and Michelle on WhatsApp, and he's actually looking in proper good nick.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Well, on that, you only pick on people fights you can win, and I remember...
It wasn't even a fight, mate. It was a disagreement.
You were aggressive. So,
a disagreement with knives.
I remember one of the greatest... it wasn't road rage, but it was a car-based road situation, was...
Which is road rage.
No, it wasn't, because I wasn't driving. I was parked, illegally, outside the post office in Southgate in North London when we were at Sarries. And I'm sitting in the car waiting for the lads I've given a lift to come out of the post office. All three of them went into the post office. And this bloke walks around the side of my car And I thought, this is weird. He's walking into the road where he wouldn't normally walk. And I had quite a nice car, a convertible car.
Why are all the boys in the post office?
I can't remember.
A gyro, was it?
Picking up, yeah, dodgy gyros, yeah. When you hear it probably was dodgy gyros, actually.
Picking up some French francs.
And I remember a guy walked round opposite Mackie D's in Southgate, and he's like, he goes, oh, nice car, mate, nice car, bro. I said, cheers, mate. And I instinctively got my keys and pulled them out of the ignition because I thought something's not right.
Yeah.
And because it's convertible, the windows, he could get straight to it. So I was like, and someone had tried to jump into my car in Hackney as well, like jump over the side of my car and grab my keys. Really, so I was like conscious of it. Someone had like some sort of attempted carjacking or something. He goes, give us a go, mate. Give us a go in your car. I'll bring it back. I was
oh,
like,
oh, yeah,
no.
Here you go, mate.
Yeah, give us a drive. I said, no, mate, you're right. And I thought, I better get out here.
I have my girlfriend while you're at it as well.
Yeah, and he's like, leaning into my door, two hands on the door. So I said,
just
no,
give it back.
So I opened the door to get out, and he like wouldn't let me open it. So I pushed it a bit harder, thinking, if this bloke is going to do anything, I don't want to be sitting down with a seatbelt on. And, you know, you start thinking, your adrenaline goes a bit.
You start thinking, I've got to get into a corner so I can see around me. I've got peripheral. Yeah.
And then it turns out his mate is on the other side of the car. And he's like, give him your keys. Give him your effing keys. So I was like, okay, this isn't great. They're not big blokes, but they are brazen. And there's two of them. And I'm thinking, right, not like I'm not Jack Bauer, but I'm thinking there is only one option here. I'm wearing flip-flops, so I'm not running anywhere. There's only one option, which is if anything happens, you've got to knock one of them out before the other one gets around. So it's not two on one. I'm nervous, though. So I'm not feeling like a tough guy.
You know, it's your first time, isn't it?
You're thinking, oh, what's going on here? Anyway, they knew they're in trouble when our three mates walked out the post office, because it was Chris Chesney, Kieran Roach and Craig Yandell. Oh. 6'6", 6'7", and 6'7". We had to have the roof down because they couldn't fit in the car with it up. And walked down, they saw something was happening, and Pin, who's Craig Yandell, I remember Roach, they walked over like nothing had happened, like there was no, they were like grinning. I remember one of them, I think it was Pin, started just grinning, laughing at these blokes. And Ches walks over, he says, you got a problem, boy? Everything all right, Flatsy? You got a problem, boys? They're like, no, go, don't think so, boys, see you later. And they bricked it and went. It's like, if there is one human being apart from The Rock that could walk out of that, it would be one of those three. But Ches on his own, you would not want to get out of a car and see Ches, would you? You would
he's
not.
He's massive.
He's bigger now as well.
Yeah. He looks like something, I think said this, he looks like something from Game of Thrones at the moment.
He's absolutely huge at the moment. But he was huge then. So they walked out and it was just this beautiful moment. It's just like the movies where it's like, yeah, my mates could fit you in their pockets, lads. Yeah. See you later.
And then you sort of chirped up a bit, I bet.
Yeah, I didn't, actually.
You don't want to go then? Come on then.
You're not so big and tough now, are you? Funny now, innit?
On me back, boys.
I was like, and the lads were like, what happened there? I said, I wasn't worried, boys. Don't worry about it. Like, legs, knees. Your legs go, didn't they? And you're like, right, it's on here. We're going to be scrapping now.
Did you, like, open the glove compartment and, like, pretend you're searching around for a gun?
I waited. I got my left hand and I just picked up the collar of my T-shirt and spoke into it.
I mean, fair do so. Like, you know, you're
police.
You're young, but you're still 18, 20 stone. Pure muscle.
And bone.
You know, so, you know, you're...
No. I think there's a good chance I would have won that fight, but I didn't really want to have a fight.
There's no fat on you. You're like biltong, aren't you?
There's a bit of fat on me, boy.
Well, not back then.
Not back then, no.
Oh, God.
Not a huge amount.
Loads now.
There's loads, yeah. it's mainly fat now. My gardener, a bloke who does trims
lamb
hedges.
Cutlet.
Trims the hedge. Came around, was laughing earlier because all my weightlifting equipment out the back has got cobwebs on it. And he's like, training hard, mate.
I haven't got any. Mm. I've got some dumbbells. And they're the ones that you can twist and they come out with a different weight. You
oh
know,
my God.
Yeah.
Argos dumbbells.
No, they weren't from Argos.
Yes,
York.
They were. Okay.
Yeah, but you can buy an Argos.
Buy an Argos.
But I've got found a skipping rope the other day, so I might do some double unders. Might do like 50 double unders for time.
Like Anthony Joshua. What just, a joke.
Mate, you know, just never stop moving.
What have you been up to?
Well, it's been a while, hasn't it, since we did the last podcast?
Don't give us every day. Just give us like two or three highlights and then move on, all right?
All right. Went to La Manga.
I've got to get home because I've got a brisket in the grill at the moment.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's not that you want to watch England play or anything like that, no?
No.
Went to La Manga. Golfing trip. So...
Loose?
No, it was all right. Peter Scrivener headed up. So we raised a lot of money for the WASF Foundation, and that money then gets dispersed through different sort of rugby charities. So we end up helping disadvantaged kids, basically, in the end. Some was to do with Help for Heroes.
Is that the only reason you went?
Yeah. I'm a giver. I've always said that.
You have.
You know, give before you take.
It's better to give than to receive. That's what Michael Jones, the All Black flanker, used to say. Someone asked him once why he hits people so hard. Are you religious? Why do you hit people? If you're so religious, why do you hit people so hard? He said, mate, it says in the Bible, it's better to give than to receive.
Okay.
Nice, good line.
Yeah,
that.
Nice line. Yeah. And really good fun. We had to be a little bit wary of how we acted around the pool area, because that's sort of a common area, you know, around by the bar.
And it's got a bit, the last year it got a bit loose.
Yeah, it did. I think people just got a bit drunk. But I ended up doing the last day, I did the dinner. There was a bit of fancy dress. We had a Hawaiian night on the first night. We had then Heroes and... it was a Heroes night, basically, for the Heroes and Superheroes.
Right.
Was the final night. And we dressed up my mate... Jimmy Rainbird, he went as Donald Trump.
Wolf.
Bird. Yeah, the wolf. Yeah. And Bubs, he went as Kim Jong-un.
Oh!
Sort of same size, same shape.
Yeah, they are. They look similar, actually.
And we dressed up as their security. So the rest of us, there was eight of us, the Welsh contingent, dressed up as security. So we had black tie.
Did you run alongside them? Like they,
yeah,
alongside
we did.
The limo?
I mean, I was the only one with a gun, so I was running point. But there was some there was some really good outfits. I mean, bear in mind now, Superheroes or Heroes, Matt Powell, our mate, Chin.
Yeah, he would have gone on something.
Well, he got fined because he came as himself.
Oh, right.
Jimmy Savile.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He had
did he look good?
Yeah, surprisingly, yes.
He would have done. He always puts together a great
and,
costume.
You know, I did mention him at the start about, you know, people getting fined. He got fined for coming as himself. But
yeah.
You know, and I said that, you know, I didn't mind Jimmy Savile because when I was young, you know, he fixed it for me to milk a cow blindfolded.
Oh, God.
That's from, it's actually that, that is from a radio show. Someone rings into the radio show to
it's
say
very
that.
Funny, I've heard
it's
that.
Really funny. It's on the radio. It's really clever. And then they end up backtracking the radio host to say, look, sorry, that was a,
yeah, I think we got
that was a
over.
Dummy email that was sent in. So that was really good. Peter Scriven up. Headed up, he went as Roger Utley for the last.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, for the last day. Roger Utley went as himself and had his 19, I think it might have been 71, original Lions jersey on.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
That's cool.
Proper old school jersey.
That is cool.
They even cut the sleeves off. It was still long sleeve.
That is cool.
And it was really
cool. He's a good bloke as well, Roger.
Yeah,
yeah,
really good bloke. There's a couple of Batmans there. But we had a great time. But I started off saying, you know, that during this trip, mine, there was. One guy had 10 staples in his head. he fell over in the bath room, and Peter Scrivener was there and had to put his little boy back into his Superman pants and then take him to the doctors to get 10 staples. A guy I played golf with on the last day fainted on the second hole. He was quite old, mind. And
He fainted. Did you think he was dead?
I didn't think he was dead, but he just looked through me like I was Patrick Swayze in Ghost. You know, just, I was saying, see you later, mate.
But you're used to that because you're quite pallid.
Yeah. We had one guy had severe food poisoning. Another guy fell in the shower and done something terrible to his knee. We had a guy who couldn't make golf because of tight calves.
What?
Yeah, but there was no swearing by the pool. So,
so
that
it's
was
all
a
right.
Big thing. So that was all right. But it was fantastic.
Three lads in hospital.
We raised a lot of money. And that's the part of it, you know. You're not just going on a social. You go in there to raise money.
Yeah, and if you believe that, then you believe anything because you're going on the piss. It's just a nice excuse.
Alcohol's involved, mate.
It's what gets it past the keeper. Let's just be honest about it.
It's part of my life. We had the Penarth picnic recently. So, Gennaro, we ran the Penarth picnic for the council this year.
Yeah, nice.
So that was amazing.
Is that what you sent me the pictures, like the videos of?
Yeah,
that
big
really
food
cool.
Festival down there. That went really well. We had about 14,000.
Was it all deep fried
come.
Pizzas in that? Was it in Wales?
There was actually deep fried calzone pizza. There was.
Was there? I was only joking. Oh my god!
Brother Ty were there.
Obviously what sort of food did they do? Gotcha. Yeah.
There was meat and Greek.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicken souvlaki.
Dirty
lamb
bird.
Souvlaki.
Dirty bird. They did chicken.
Okay. Yeah.
You can get stuff like the cock burger.
Excuse me. The cock burglar. That was your nickname in high school.
So that's really good. We've got another one coming up. We've got the festival coming up, 14th, 15th of July down there. It's
can't make it.
Downhill derby with music. And
can't make it.
We're going to hopefully show the World Cup on the
can't make it
on the Sunday. You can't make it.
I'm a Goodwood Festival of Speed with Land Rover.
You just can't be bothered. And I've been playing a lot of golf, mate. Got a hole in one.
Oh yeah.
Last week.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Soch. Well done, boy.
Bubs and Jimmy Rainbird witnessed it as well. So it's even better when your mates witness it because you don't have to do the talking then.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, oh yeah, had a hole in one. Yeah. It was there, some corporate guy, I don't even know his name.
Wasn't Banners doing, Banners has had loads, he said on Twitter, didn't he? He's had, I've had seven hole in one or something, he said, didn't he?
Yeah, he reckons he doesn't go on about it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the picture of him holding one on the wall.
Hypocrite warning.
And Laurie Cantor, did he say he has had any?
Yeah.
He must have had.
Yeah, definitely.
He must have had. If he hasn't, then he is an absolute loser.
And then we had a meeting with Diageo, didn't we, on Tuesday?
God, didn't we ever. Cool. Nice bit of steak, that.
Lovely. Smith and Smithfield. Farringdon Station.
Well, yeah, it's lovely. Now,
Well done. There
is a rule that I read in GQ once, that shorts, as in the clothes, shorts should never be seen in the city. But I'm sorry, it's 28 degrees. Big Dave ain't wearing chinos if he doesn't have to, or a suit. I wear shorts and T-shirt, and you said I look like Jean-Paul Gaultier model.
Why did you wear suit shoes with it, though?
I didn't wear suit shoes. I wore my Nick Mullins shoes.
You wore brogues. Like,
they're not brogues. They are
brogues.
They're made of fabric. They're not.
Brogues.
They're cold hard, they're and they're light summer shoes.
You wear them with your trousers. Like, you've got to have summer shoes. You've got to have, like, Toms, or you've got to have,
do you know,
like,
what? Let me tell you this. I've just ordered, after your abuse, I should have had a pair of my old boat shoes. I've got two pairs that I've had for 15 years each.
That's what my dad wears.
But they were. I didn't know where they were, because you're having this room painted at home, so it's all moved. But I have ordered some.
Well, you're having one room painted at home and you can't find your shoes?
Two rooms at once. So everything should be dumped in the basement. And I was like, I can't be arsed. So I could have found them if I'd put 30 seconds of effort in. But I've just ordered some little kind of, you know, espadrille things.
Yeah.
You know? Is it espadrille? Is that the word?
Yeah. I didn't wear shorts. I wore jeans because, you know, it was a meeting. We're trying to work a lot with Diageo next year, Guinness, for the podcast. So I wore, you know, I wore collar and
okay, so when I turn
and
up.
Jeans.
Everyone in the meeting says, I am jealous of what you're wearing. I'm all boiling and I'm sweating through my shirt. And I say, guys, don't just dream about living the life. Live it.
We're old school, though. You know, when we turn up to a meeting, we think we should wear trousers and a collar. I mean, you know, well done for doing it, Dave, but
Tom,
you know, it's not us.
Tom, are they giving us a second series?
Bloody hope so.
Exactly. They're giving a second series. The shorts worked.
It would be
these
nice.
Calves, mate. You're looking at them now. These calves, they win you prizes. Oh, shit, I got cramp then. See that?
Yeah.
You ever seen a calf get cramp?
Yeah.
Oh, you had compartment syndrome in your calf, didn't you? Your calves were too big for your sheaths.
Too fast, mate. That was a problem. Too fast twitch.
Bursting out of sheaths has never been an issue for me.
What have you been up to?
Not a lot. I went to tell you what I did. Alex Brown, a.k.a. his nickname, he's got a great nickname, Brownie, who played for Gloucester for years in the second row in Bristol, of course. He's our team manager, but he
just quickly, what did a cub find down the toilet?
The cub, hang on.
A brownie. Carry on.
Okay. I was thinking, someone left a poo lying there. You can't leave that thing lying there. You can't leave that lying there. Anyway.
Yeah. So, don't forget as well.
Yeah.
Horse milk. Just remind me later.
Yeah, okay. So, Alex Brown, a.k.a. Brownie, has got a villa in Corfu, which is absolutely gorgeous, and he's had it for a long time. And every year he goes out with Andy Hazel, James Forrester, and Trevor Woodman. The four of them go, because that's the perfect size. That's the number of
Porthos, Aramis.
Yeah, but Trevor Woodman got dropped for poor form last year. So it's funny, because it's a reversal of our rugby careers, because Trevor stole my life and won the World Cup, and I've now stolen Trevor's life and gone on holiday with Brownie, Hazel, and Django. And we had...
And carving up in the corporate world.
But no, not quite. And it was absolutely lovely. So I had to cut it short because I did the HSBC 7s at Twickenham, which, I'll be honest with you, I forgot about when I booked my flights. So unfortunately, I lost those flights and had to book two more. But it was really, really nice. And we had a lovely 3 days out there. Not like heavy lash, just boating around to different tavernas for lunch and barbecues tunes on.
Yeah.
I know they're blooming Gloucester scum and they're the enemy, but actually,
I don't think I could do that though. If I went away for 4 days out to Corfu, I don't think I could just do you know what, lads? I'm just gonna have a half bottle of wine tonight. That will do me, and I'll have like a 6-7 hour kip, and I'll see you in the morning.
Well, no, what we do when you're with Brownie is you get somewhere at midday for lunch.
I'd be thumb master,
and you order a bottle of rosé. And then half an hour later, you order another one, and you keep ordering and ordering and ordering. Then you eventually get home at 11 o'clock, and you've had a lot of booze.
Okay, yeah.
And the next morning, we're up at 8, and we're going...
All right, I'm with you now.
We did some weights, exercise, train every morning. Brownie trains every day. He's in great nick. Lovely Nick. Lovely body, if he listens to this. So it's brilliant. And they're guys that I've been mates with for a very long time. And I must say, Tom, let me say to you now, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
You haven't been on holiday with me since Tenerife, though, have you?
Since you had a fight with Matt Leek.
Are you scared? You're too scared to come on holiday with me?
Since you had a fight with Matt Leek. No, I just don't like drinking cut price lager.
Because you don't like playing 21s and 5s.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And EG.
Yeah, no, I'm
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, you're dead right. You're bang right.
Mrs. Mops.
And the Thumb Master General and all that crap, you know.
Yeah,
like, oh, for God's
pointing,
sake.
Showing teeth.
Yeah, for God's sake, just grow up. So yeah, went out there. That was ruddy lovely, I tell thee.
Yeah.
I've done a little bit of work, but I mean, that's...
How was the Sevens?
A bit dull. Sevens is great, actually, because, I mean...
Scotland won it the last previous 2 years, didn't they?
Yeah, it was great fun. So I did it with...
Come on, name drop now. There were big names there.
Well, Brian O'Driscoll, ever heard of him? And Sir Chris Hoy, who's a great bloke, because, well, you imagine he would be. He's a great bloke, and two of his primary interests are cars and lifting weights.
They don't
and
give,
I love cars, and I love lifting weights, so we got on like a
They don't
house
give
on fire.
Knighthoods out to, you know, horrible people. Oh, wait, they sometimes do.
Of course they do. Yeah, of course they do. So, did that. That was I love
they're
that
then,
guy. He was great.
They then removed them, aren't they?
I went to this thing called Country Fire Kitchen, which was... it's on my Insta, but it's a guy called Tom Bray. I've been wanting to go for ages, and it's basically cooking food outdoors, but it's just hanging meat over fire and... You know, it's just super, super cool. You just literally put some logs on the floor, set them alight, and cook meat over it. It's just,
oh yeah,
it's absolutely mega. If that's your cup of tea. I did the England under-20s semi-finals and final with Ugo and Goody and Nick Mullins and Jill Douglas. And done that last couple of years. Good fun. I enjoy that. I enjoy
the 20s
stuff.
Games.
Oh God, yeah, we don't touch it until it's knockout time. Had a couple of motorbike lessons.
How's the motorbike thing going?
All right, yeah.
What about horse milk then? Come on. What's so special about horse milk? Is this a joke? You know.
No. No.
Got the trots?
No.
Okay.
It's... Oh, yeah, I went to my daughter's sports day and she fell over in the race. She did the big sprint and she was middle towards last. There's only four of them. I think she might have been third or fourth, and she stacked it and cried, and it was
divot, was it?
It was actually, but she was the only one who fell over on it, mind. And it was, I mean, Tommy, it was tragic, boy. You can imagine how emotional that was.
Did you video it?
Oh, I brought
did you video it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I'll send it to you in a minute. It's brilliant.
Could you slow it down to a déjà for strings?
Well, no, because I panned off her when she fell. I went back and you find her on the floor, which is almost the best bit. So I need some music where you lose her and you go back and it's like, oh no, she's on the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. But it's a good one for when she gets married. But I brunched with Will Green the other day, Wasps fame.
Go on.
I had a lovely brunch with Will Green, who's a lovely man. We don't meet up enough, but just have always loved him.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what the whole horse milk thing came from, I had coffee in Bath yesterday with my mate. All right, lads. Yeah, they're obviously pod fans walking past the car, shaking their head at us like weirdos. And I had coffee with Bod Griffiths, who owns a company called Vale House Kitchen, which is just outside Bath. You basically kill it, cook it, eat it type thing, butcher it, and they do all these cool foraging courses and fishing and jam making and venison butchery.
Sounds
and
like Ray
fly
Mears,
fishing.
Mate.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it's like if I didn't have to work or didn't want to work or did what I wanted and I had Bruce Craig's money in the bank, I would do one day a week just with Bod doing whatever he was doing. Like every Monday I'd give to Bod.
I thought you were going to say charity work then. My heart nearly went.
And then I would invite five people with me for free for charity. But I would do that because he just does the coolest stuff. Anyway, we had a coffee and he told me about horse milk, and apparently it's the new thing. It's like the best thing to drink after you train. It's the most nutritious thing in the world. From female horses, mind. Not male, not stallion milk, Tom, before you say it. Anyway, what do you want to talk about horse milk then?
No, I just saw you tweet about it, that was all.
But he was going on, he was talking about it, and he was like, he doesn't know anything about it either. And we're like, neither of us knows. Let's just ask Twitter. And then it's like, why did I not expect everyone to come back and say exactly the same thing? You know,
it wouldn't necessarily be my first port of call to put on my Weetabix / Corn Flakes.
Belly, Duncan Bell sent me a video of blokes drinking equine semen.
Okay. Do you know, like, we're the only species in the world, in the planet that we call Earth, that drinks milk after infant age, but also drinks other animals' milk.
Tommy.
Strange.
Milk is for babies. Who said that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Which I could tell by the accent.
Yeah, you could, yeah.
Yeah. It was either that or Radioactive Man from The Simpsons.
Oh, by the way,
just talk over that one.
You might, yeah, well done. Radioactive, don't know him. See, you might have noticed, Tom, that I've come to the studio today in a different car.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
I'm not sure this is the appropriate forum, but I think it's worth a try. If anybody wants to buy that car off me, they can, because I'm a little bit too lazy to sell it properly.
See, I thought you were going to go down the route of, if anyone wants Flats and Shanks to come and do a little bit of work for them in return for a fuel card. Oh, God, yeah. That as well.
If somebody gives me a fuel card to cover the petrol in my
jet,
gorgeous Range Rover, which I'm very grateful to have, and I mean that, obviously, I would give... I've got a lovely left arm.
I love these things. What would you do?
And I would give that to somebody.
Okay.
I would give that to someone. If they want one of my pipes, they can have it. Or a calf. I've got decent calves. If you want a calf, you can have one.
Well, you don't give all your calves all away, do you?
No, I give one of them.
Do you know what I think has got the worst calves? Like one of my mates.
Who?
Gethin Jones.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mo Farah calves.
No.
Yeah. Skip leg day.
Oh, no. Well, you know Brad Davis, the coach?
Yeah.
Who personally, I think, should be in the running for the England defence job, because I personally think he's a really, really good coach, and yeah, so do a lot of people I know.
And a big mate.
He is a big mate, but not big. He's a mate, but we're not in contact.
Yeah, but you've taken that out of the equation with your...
Well, it's difficult, because the coaches you know most about are the ones you've worked with most closely.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way it goes. So yeah, it's like, let's recommend someone we've never worked with. It's not as... doesn't happen that well. You know, kind of like Sean Edwards. I'm sure he's really good, but I've never worked with him. So I can recommend him from what I've seen, but with Brad Davis, it's what I know. So that's kind of natural, isn't it? Anyway, I'm not giving him a job. I just think he should be in the running. But he had tiny calves. I used to say that he had the calves of a dog. Have you seen a dog's calves?
Horse's calves?
They ain't got them. Yeah, dog calves. Yeah. He didn't like that. Dog calves.
No, you're right.
But Martin Corrie, apparently, even when he played for Leicester in England, used to wear two pairs of socks because he was conscious about his calves being too small.
As did Ryan Jones.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Talking about legs, have you been watching any of Love Island?
Tommy, I've watched one episode, and
can you tell me what went on in the episode? Do you know or not?
It was when Wes was very happy with Laura.
Yeah.
And he was one that everyone fancied, and I'm looking at him thinking, I don't believe a word this guy says. And then Meg,
yeah,
who's got ridiculous assets up front and has got massive, oddly massive lips, but everyone talks about how stunning and beautiful she is. I'm looking at her thinking, I just want to see something behind those eyes, but there's nothing there. And I'm thinking, these are disingenuous human beings.
Just be careful now, because last time we went on a rant like this was about a crime podcast I told you about, and you're not liked in the true crime underworld in the UK.
So I'm not I don't hate on people for watching things I don't want to watch. I do what you want, I don't care. But I watched it and thought, she has literally moved on a guy who's got a girlfriend, and he's perfectly happy, and he's like, oh, hang on a minute. She's fitter than the one I've got, so I'm going to just bin this one. And it's kind of like, I just find the whole thing. Do you know what?
She's 29, he's 20. They're not perfectly happy. It's a game where they've got to couple up. If you don't couple up, you get out.
Fine.
You've got to stay in there. So it is a game, end of the day. So
yeah, fine.
But I love it when people get so upset about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not upset.
It's not real life, like Emmerdale.
I'm not upset, but you're still.
Or Morse.
Deep
Space Nine.
I find I personally don't care if anyone else watches it. I don't think you shouldn't watch it, but I feel genuinely uncomfortable.
Stop telling us we're allowed to watch it. We're allowed to watch it.
Yeah, but you know, but people get pissed off, and you know, it's like, I'm not angry about anything.
It's like Marmite, though, isn't it? Like I'd say probably 30-40% hate it. The rest like it.
Yeah, fine. And I personally hate it. I'm really uncomfortable watching it.
See, I like it when it gets uncomfortable. I like it when
I love awkwardness.
I love true emotions as well, and seeing it. But all the cool kids watch it. You know, like Ugo watches it. I watch it.
Yeah, everyone watches it. Except
Rob Evans watches it. Liam Williams watches it.
Yeah, I get
Freddie Burns watches it.
It's just, I just find it really, really unpleasant.
I feel it. Like, I tried to speak to my dad about it the same, and he was just, he got angry as well. So,
an age thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Even though we're the same age. But I wear Nick Mullins shoes, and I don't like Nick Mullins.
Yeah, but, mate, you know, you're wearing black jeans now, and you're wearing a black
T-shirt. Gavinson jeans. Yeah. Got a black T-shirt today, actually.
You're wearing with a pair of Nike trainers.
Do you know what I've got? I've got a pair of those bright orange Air Force Ones as well that I'm going to bring out at some point.
What's the Air Force Ones?
Big Nike Air Force Ones, mate. You've not seen them?
Nope.
I instant a picture of them. I got a pair. They're coming out soon. They are.
Oh, we'll have a look at
them. They are dope. They're sick.
Yeah, and you're dressing in like All Saints and Farrah and stuff like that. You know, I've had a positive influence on you, boy.
Like I did the other day, I realised I went to my wardrobe and I've got a lot of T-shirts that are minging and old and whatever. So I thought I'd better get some T-shirts. So I went on the All Saints website and found whatever and got 7 of them that are double XL black T-shirts.
As long as they fit, perfect.
Just because they fit. I know they fit, so get some. And they won't buy anything else for about 5 years now. So it ends up as a, you know, I mean, anyway, my point was, Tommy, if anybody wants to buy that car off me,
okay,
it's a 2011 BMW X3. It's steel, it's gunmetal grey, it's got lovely...
How many miles?
Cappuccino brown leather interior, it's high spec, it's got all your sat nav and your phone and all the extras. And the blacked out windows at the back and 18-inch wheels. It's very, very nice. 2-litre diesel, 75,000 miles, worth about 10 grand. If somebody wants to give me 8 for it, they can just have it, because I can't be bothered doing the thing. Is that an appropriate thing to do on this pod?
That's fine, mate. You know, it's.
I would tweet it, but I feel like it's disrespectful to Land Rover, who
I
love.
We can do what we want at the moment, because we're still in control.
Yes, true, actually. We still own it.
We've not floated it yet.
I mean, it's not worth anything. That's why we own it. Right, good luck to you.
Yeah. Mate.
Bro.
Mate, how much sport's been on?
I know.
Loved it.
I know, it's been...
Loving the Football World Cup now as well. I'm loving it. Well, like, what really, really kills me, and we spoke about this before, is just the play acting and the diving.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody gets touched around the head, they're just straight down the floor. Yet when someone gets a cut, a little cut, and they're bleeding, they think they're... Terry Butcher.
Odd. I think they're well odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't get it. I mean, we're not seeing that too much. I don't think we see it with the England guys, but you certainly see it. It's rife in football. It just,
but even the whole Terry Butcher thing, he's a tough guy, but that's not, it's not tough to cut your head and stay on.
That's why I can't fully commit to it. I can't let my guard down, my barriers down, and my emotions down with football. Mm. I like it, but it can't suck me in, because I don't like that aspect of it, nor do I like the violence. That goes with fans.
Yeah. Has there been much of that in Russia?
No, it's actually been really quiet. I don't know whether that's just down to media coverage, or I'm sure there's...
I got a couple of mates who's over there now, and they say that it's been absolutely lovely, and everyone is lovely and welcoming, and it's a brilliant, brilliant place.
Probably
to be on
tour. Thanks to the Euros, where Russia just defeated everyone in that.
What, the ultras?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no one really wants to mess with them. But anyway, England went on tour to South Africa.
They did, didn't they? Didn't they just, Tommy?
Didn't they just? So, first game up, South Africa.
Terror start for South
9th
Africa.
9th of June.
Yeah, it's going back a bit. Should we, I mean... We'll
terrible start. It's a terrible start to the tour for South Africa, because they go 2 or 3 tries in really quickly, don't they?
They came back beautifully. And I don't care what anyone says, some of the England boys were hanging at the end of that game. And to say that altitude made no difference, I am completely unqualified to say this, but I think that is rubbish.
Oh, it does make a difference.
We both played at altitude. Makes a massive difference.
But even when you train, sometimes you can train in the gym, they have like these altitude machines
where
you put a mask on your mouth, so it sort of limits the amount of oxygen coming in and out.
Yeah.
It's way harder. Altitude does make a difference, and it's certainly an advantage. I mean, is it going to be the difference between... It's a small percentage difference.
Yeah, but you know,
I don't think if that test was sea level, they would have won it still.
But then you got last 15, 20 minutes, you've got to produce something massive and explosive, and you're broken. And the whole thing about training at sea level and going up to altitude, because it makes no difference, there appears to be a school of thought that says altitude does make a difference, training at altitude. There's a school of thought that says it doesn't.
Small difference, yeah. I think it does.
Training at altitude pre-match. So I just think, whatever your school of thought, why wouldn't you just stay at altitude and train at altitude the week before for the sake of it? Why would you not just in case.
Was the second test at altitude?
I think it was, yes. I could be wrong, correct me if you want, on Twitter, but I think they're both at altitude, and England didn't necessarily look spent in the second test, but they looked knackered in that first test. I think it made all the difference, I really do. And also, the third test, it was almost like it suited England. There was a bit of rain. Glad to see Cipriani start. He didn't have a massive amount of involvement.
We just skipped to the third. We got to start on the first test first and the second.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to kind of bring it round, hopefully.
Okay,
but
cool.
Just that England, I thought, got out-muscled in the first two tests, and I thought they'd out-aerobicked a little bit, certainly in the first test.
Yeah.
Outrun in the first test, and they just didn't have the oxygen to get it done in the first test. South Africa came back brilliantly, has to be said. They were brutal. They were proper South African team. I thought the two locks were great. And I thought, I've completely forgotten his name.
Who?
Our kid, big lad in the... Peter Steph Dutoy, I thought, okay, was, over the course of the series, was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. But what a player. But then I thought the rain, I thought Cipriani was wonderful. His moment of magic at the end was just fantastic. And for me, that's why he has to go to the World Cup. He was absolutely... When he touched the board, he was fabulous. But it was raining. It was a horrible day. South Africa just didn't have as much to play for because they'd already won the series. And England had a big old tight five. Joe Marler came in because Mako went home for the birth of his baby. Congratulations on that. But I do think England are a stronger front five at set piece with Joe Marler in there. Best game I've seen Joe Marler play in ages. Thought he was a man of the match or close to it. And England beat up South Africa. And that's the way they kind of... Easy to say now, should have done it in the first two tests, but I think they met a slightly weakened South Africa, and they arrived strengthened. So
yeah,
nice to win the last game, but they were, you know,
Bloemfontein, yeah, is above altitude as well.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I think Ellis Park, the first one was like 1,700 metres above. This was like,
yeah, 14. Brutal. It's brutal, and it's an absolute killer. And why? And my point is, why would you not stay at altitude just in case it helps?
But let's also remember that South Africa don't win every single game they play in those two stadiums at all. You know, so it's not.
No, but you've also got, Tommy, you've got English lads are not used to playing at altitude at all, whereas the All Blacks will regularly play South African teams and the Aussies will regularly play teams from SA at altitude. So they do it a handful of times a year. England don't.
I'm saying it gives them a little bit of advantage, but I'm not saying it's...
But they only won by a couple of points. That's all you need. You know?
So 2-1.
Yeah, about right, isn't it?
See, the third test for me is just... It's a write-off. It's like scoring... In the 90th minute when you're behind and the score makes no difference to the outcome.
Yeah.
You can't really... It makes no odds because the test already won, two down.
But it's just less embarrassing.
But also, yeah, it is a little bit less embarrassing. People will view that and the statistics will show 2-1. But you look at the changes that South Africa made as well, made a huge difference. Like Pollard is so much better at 10 than Jantjies.
So much better.
Jantjies.
Yeah, I think so.
Looks like kicks... pretty well, and he loves the follow through of a kick. He's like Tomasi Allen for Italy. But does not offer enough at all. Delande at 12, he's an ox of a bloke.
Yeah,
he's so big and so strong. And also Jesse Creel, he came off the bench in the first two
but
tests,
I like him,
and he's rapido. I've seen his pickup and how elusive he is.
Seen a rig on him.
But they made four or five changes for the last game, and you know, it wasn't a strong South Africa team. Look, Wales played them in Washington, and that was a totally different team.
Yeah, it was. You know,
but
that was
for me, the people that made the biggest difference was Faf de Klerk at 9, brilliantly,
brilliant.
Vermeulen at 8,
brilliant,
huge. Pollard at 10 because South Africa struggled with a decent 10 for a long time. Jantjies has been playing there, and it's not really worked with him.
He's not good enough now.
Pollard has come in, and he gets the back line moving, but Willie LaRue.
Yeah.
I mean, his form has just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Ever since Kirtley Beale left, because I think Kirtley Beale, when he was at Wasps, sort of stole the show a fair bit. But once he left, sort of, Willie LaRue had far more ball, probably a little bit more pressure on him as well, because he was a big marquee player.
Yeah.
But so dangerous in attack.
Yeah, agreed. He was fab, and I thought Mostert actually in the second row less glamorous, but I thought he was excellent, and he's going for Gloucester.
Yep.
Next season. That's a really, really good signing.
But just picking up on your point, that Cipriani kick was was sheer brilliance, mate. I mean, it was quite a quiet game. He didn't touch the ball for a long time at the start of that game because there were a lot of forwards running off nine. He didn't. There's a lot of stoppages. He didn't really get a touch, but to produce that moment of brilliance right at the end there, and you watch it, it's he's not decided to kick until a microsecond before he kicks.
Yeah,
and it's a perfect kick.
Yeah,
it gets taken out after. I thought the combination worked well with Farrell. I honestly believe Farrell, his best position is 12. People say play him 10, play him 12. You need a ball player in that back line. Henry Slade, it's a lot harder to be a ball player at 13 because you're more of a strike runner.
Yeah.
You know, whilst at 10 and 12, you can slot into that first receiver position. I still think there's a big opportunity for someone to grab that 13 jersey. Elliot Dahlia potentially could, but I quite liked him at 15 for you boys. But
I thought, like, in terms of players that came out of the two with credit, I mean, plenty of them, but I thought Marler had a really good set of third test. I really liked his third test. Luke Cowan-Dickey, I thought, looked great when he came on. But I thought Johnny May was great. And I thought Mike Brown had a good tour. Not perfect, but I thought he had a decent...
Yeah, he did right. He finished his tries, and he finished a few tries on that tour. But you'd still... You know, if you were picking a team and you're picking a winger, wouldn't you pick someone like Christian Wade over him?
Yeah, but my point is... Oh, yes is the answer. But my point is that as soon as he's on the wing, people write him off. And he was much too good to write off.
Yeah,
that's my point.
I totally agree with that. He is a decent player and he can fit in anywhere along that back line. But
and as for his interview where he said, I wouldn't mind a little bit of respect, I've got over 70 caps. Some people said, you don't ask for respect, you earn it. I like the fact that he says what he thinks, said what he thought. And he's like, do you know what? I am who I am and I've got 70-odd caps for England. So wind your necks in. And I must say, I quite like it when they say
there
stuff
was,
like that.
Obviously, Ben Youngs took a lot of flack for a real short interview. He wasn't rude at all. He answered the question and he just said, thank you very much, bye. He cut it short himself. The week after he fixed it. But, and there was a lot of flack about him on social media. But there was one tweet that I just retweeted and liked straight away, did them both, was that one, I can't remember his name, one person said, Ben Youngs will always be the player that turned down a Lions tour to stay home with his very ill sister.
Brother's wife,
sister-in-law. And I just summed it up.
Yeah.
I was just, what a bloke to do
that.
Yeah,
great bloke.
And it just puts it in perspective, you know, he's fresh off the back. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? You know, when you lose and you've got a microphone in front of you and are asking you why, you don't know why because you've just finished a game. You know, you have to analyse a game to find out why a lot of the time. And it's mostly pure emotion that comes out. So, but fair play to him for fixing it.
I thought he did an interview the week later, didn't he? And that was so long, it was boring in the end, wasn't it, his interview? I preferred a shorter one.
Snappy, isn't it?
Preferred a short one. Try to work on that, bye.
Wales went to Washington, D.C. I did put my hand up and say, look, if you need a tour guide, I'm ready, I'm there.
Nothing?
Nothing at all.
Have your number.
No, I don't know. But played South Africa out in Washington. Spoke to Reese Williams, who was out there. He's now in the commercial team at the Principality Stadium.
Yeah.
He said it was amazing. He said the sponsors went out. Yeah, he said it was brilliant fun. They did loads. The Welsh boys went to the White House. They had photos in the White House. I saw James Davis, Cubby Boy, asked him if he stole anything from the White House. He said no.
Did he? He didn't steal anything?
No, not even
amazing.
A flag.
Amazing, how good on him.
But you look at the team as well that South Africa played, and you know, it's a cliche, you only play the team in front of you, but there weren't many names that I recognised. But whatever, regardless of that, you're still playing South Africa, you're still playing players that represent South Africa, and Wales did well to hold on to that. 22-20, it was a pretty poor game. Whatever TV company was out videoing it in America was appalling. We didn't see any wide angles. It was shockingly done.
Yeah.
Martin Williams was on a different level to Eddie Butler. Volume-wise. The commentary was great. But
they're both equally ginger, aren't they?
Yeah. For me, though, Hadley Parks made a massive difference when he came off the bench.
Yeah.
He just steadies the ship. He's
high class, isn't he?
He's 30 or 31 years old, but proper, like, mature player.
Yeah.
Knows how to play the game, knows the areas to play the game. You can see his influence when he comes on the field. But then he went to Argentina then and had steak every day for breakfast. But there were some real good performances, okay? Hallam Amos, you would have seen him a little bit, featured a little bit for Wales. He was in a World Cup 2015.
Big bloke, young face. I was.
Yeah, really young. We don't know how old he is.
He's 9,
but he was playing 15, and he looked good. Had a superb offload for James Davis's try, but it was good. Rhys Patchell at 10.
Yeah,
I really like him at 10. We've spoke about him
same,
before.
Same time.
Wyn Jones, Elliot D, Dylan Lewis, really good in the front row.
Yep.
And a lot of these are a second choice. And that's no disrespect saying that. You know, there's some quality that was left at home.
Yeah.
But what you get with these players now, they're playing against a quality team like Argentina, and they're getting that experience. So they get up to tempo with international rugby, the confidence. So if there are injuries, you know, I think Wales are in a far better position now after this tour where...
Than England.
Where players can step up.
Yeah.
And not be and not be intimidated by the game and the situation they're in. Josh Adams got called out.
Yeah, he's class.
I think
he scored a great try.
I was hoping he was going to get called out anyway in the third test. Yeah, he scored a great try. Because, you know, he's been on fire all year for Worcester. Didn't get much of a shot really during the Six Nations. Was in and out. George North moved back to the wing, which is his best position. So... Yeah.
You're not happy with George at 13. You don't want that in your life.
No, I don't mind it at all. He's
well, he's a world class
player.
So
he's a world class player, but he has to play in that position for his club.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's going to be playing there for the Ospreys. But they finished off the season, the tour really well with 30-12 against Argentina. A little bit disappointed with Argentina. It didn't look like a team, and surprisingly, surprised me a bit because they all play for the same team.
Yeah, but it's funny. I think Brendan Gallagher said it on Twitter.
It's not funny.
It's hilarious. What is hilarious? What is? But it's the whole the assumption that because they all play for the same team, they'll have the best bond of all. But actually, it's almost like there's no buzz, and they're so
a bit monotonous.
Yeah,
There's two sides to it, really, isn't there? But Owen Watkins came in for the last game, and you know,
how'd he go?
He would have gained. Yeah, good. He would gain a lot more experience as well. And it's about it's only I reckon when you get to sort of 30 or 40 caps. Your country, you actually feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you should be there. You know, a lot of it is, you know, am I in? Am I out? It takes you a while to sort of get used to international rugby and feel confident. You're not getting too nervous.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. That,
like you, I do really like Rhys Patchell at 10. I also like Corey Hill in the second row. I think he's turned into a really good player.
Yeah. You know, he was on the Blues Academy at one stage, and I remember him when I was young.
He's good.
When he was young. And he comes across really well as a captain. It was joint captaincy between him and Ellis Jenkins. Ellis Jenkins had a great tour
Ellis Jenkins, James Davis, Ross Moriarty. I love that back row, especially when you think they've got Tippers, Warbers and Talupeyers in reserve like that. They're properly doing it. They're properly doing the depth thing. I really, really like it. And Ellis Jenkins is going to be some player, I think.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
good-looking bloke as well, isn't he? Better looking than Cubby Boy. Way better looking than Cubby Boy.
Do you reckon I could get on Love Island a couple of years ago? Or was it my cow? Was my cow-like eyelashes? And
I don't know.
And goggle eyes.
I think I'd like to say you've actually got a soul, so you wouldn't be able to do it. But I don't think you have, so you'd be all right. Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant.
Thank no offense, mate.
The only thing is. Wales' tour to Argentina was successful, and Wales...
Argentina were terrible, mate.
But then Scotland hammered them. Absolutely hammered them, 44-15. I think scored more tries in that game than Wales scored in two tests against them. Whether or not they were just waiting for the season to end or start, I think it's just starting for them, isn't it? And Scotland lost to...
USA, first time ever.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I know.
Brutal.
I did like... you always like this, because I always like it. When you see players that you used to love watching play, seeing their sons coming through.
Yeah.
And you had that with Gavin Hastings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lads come through. Adam Hastings, yeah. He was actually at Bath for a while. I watched him play a few times at Bath. Lovely player.
Yeah.
Really, really good player.
Love watching him at 10.
Yeah.
Looked real class act.
Mm.
Much better than his dad.
Oh, God, yeah, way better than his dad. Oh, yeah, by miles, absolutely miles.
Yeah, but they played really well.
They did play well, and losing to USA is not good. Congratulations to USA, but they obviously they had a point to prove against Argentina and ripped them apart. But I mean, in terms of the home nations, I mean, we'll talk about Ireland now, but I must, even though I'm English, obviously, I do quite like seeing Wales in such good shape, because when they went out
you know, whenever they go out of World Cups, I'm always really disappointed because I always think they're, I always want them to do really well. And you know, I'm not that bothered if France go out, to be honest with you. But I'm always.
But you want strength and depth, don't you?
I'd love Wales to arrive at the World Cup and really.
I think they will.
Put
I
it
think,
up a few of them, yeah.
By all accounts, from what you hear from players, from coach, like they've got a good, like squad, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Good confidence. All the boys want to work hard. They want to train hard. They're motivated.
Yeah.
It's a nice environment to be in. And that's not always the case because I know everyone trains hard, but you want that buzz around the environment,
yeah,
don't you?
For sure.
So it seems good. But anyway, let's quickly move on to Ireland.
Our heroes. First test series victory in Australia ever, wasn't it, for them? I think that's right.
Just say it confidently and no one ever...
First time I've ever won a test series in Australia. But
so they lost the first test.
They are brilliant.
They lost the first test in Suncorp.
Yep.
18-9. Wasn't the greatest of games. 8-6 half time. But
hang on a sec. Beep your horn.
No.
Go on, beep your horn.
Why?
Do it. Hang on, we've got a bloke who's got out of his car. We're at the services as usual doing our pod.
Okay, we'll pause
it. No, don't pause it. You can come and say hello.
Okay.
Do you want to say hello, mate?
Hi guys.
What's your name? Where are you from? Hang on, but wait, coming here to my, what's your name? Where are you from, mate?
Thornton, big Saints fan from Northampton. What, Sarah, we've just got engaged yesterday.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations, Sarah, come on over. I'm Flats, he's Shanks. You probably don't know us, probably him, but just tell us briefly into the microphone how the proposal took place. Come a bit closer for me.
Where were we?
You don't even know?
It was far away. Overlooking the sea, the top of a hill.
On top of a hill and...
Big surprise.
On bended knee, was he?
On bended knee.
Definitely, yeah.
Smarmy. So, what are you doing down here then?
Just come down for a nice holiday on the beach, and now we're on the way into Bath for another couple of days.
Are you into Bath, are you? Mm. No one's run that past me, Chief.
Is that alright?
We're going to be alright?
Well, I've only ever been in for the rugby to the Rec, but it's such a beautiful city, I thought, you know, we'll go and enjoy it for a couple of nights.
Where are you staying?
Do you know, I can't even remember now, you put me on the spot.
That'll do, just Google it, you'll be alright when you check your emails. So you got out of the car and you saw us looking like seedy weirdos at the services.
Yeah, two guys sat in a Range Rover on the side of the road. This looks a bit dodgy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I saw who it was and I thought, this is definitely dodgy.
But you listen to the pod, do you?
Yes, yeah.
I knew you had a fan. I told you we had fans that weren't mum and dad.
Yeah. I even listened to it on two different devices just to try and bump your numbers up.
That's good. No,
thank
good on you.
You.
So you're going in. You're going into the Moto services. Are you going to Costa or Burger King?
Ooh, I don't know. I know how to treat a lady, don't I? Nah. Quick pee and a coffee on the way to Bath.
All right, you have a wee. That's good to know you're having a wee.
Yes.
Wash your hands with soap, all right, guys? Congratulations on the... have you set a date yet?
Thank you very much. No, a bit early for that.
My mate's record is 11 years he was engaged for before he got married.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I think we can beat that.
Do you reckon?
No, the other way around. Shorter, not longer.
Yeah, he's divorced now. So good luck, all right?
Thanks very much, guys.
Good luck, guys. Steady on.
Thanks,
see you
guys.
Later. Cheers, guys.
Sorry, Flats isn't wearing anything underneath.
Yeah, sorry, I'm naked from the waist down.
Mate, it's not a chat show.
I know, but he got out of the car next to us. He said, oh, it's Flats and Shanks, and then gave us,
poor bloke.
Middle finger up. Yeah, Northampton fan, which is a shame. But
you didn't even let him breathe.
That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it'd be all right. He's a nice guy. Take his Mr. Burger King.
So anyway, Australia beat Ireland first test.
Yeah.
But Johnny Sexton wasn't playing. Joe Carberry was at 10.
Exactly.
Makes such a huge difference.
I love Joe Carberry, but Johnny Sexton, yowza.
Yowza.
Northern Hemisphere's top 10.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Curtly Beale's really good in that game as well. I really like Curtly Beale.
He's so good.
You could play him anywhere, couldn't you?
You couldn't play him at tight end. Don't be ridiculous.
Probably could.
But he is...
Probably
I love
him. Chew your ear off.
I was gutted when he left Wasp, actually, because he was about the best player to watch in the league, I thought.
It was a perfect test. Australia won the first one. Ireland come back in the second one, 26-21. How good was Tadhg Furlong?
Holy moly.
Mate, the guy can scrum. The guy can run.
See, he's clear out of Pocock.
Yeah, the guy can tackle. The guy can carry.
Yep.
He's the full package.
Yep. He is fabulous. And someone on Twitter said he's on his way to becoming the greatest tight end of all time. And it's a difficult one because...
There's plenty of them.
Yeah, and it's different generations. So
yeah, it's a different game as well.
Different game. And, you know, has he had a bigger influence on world rugby than Carl Heyman did? Or
not yet.
Not yet, no. And I'm not saying he's not on his way to becoming that, but when you look at, I just cited a couple that popped into my mind from sort of the generation I grew up watching, and there's always like Graham Price and people that I didn't watch very much, but and the legendary French tight ends, but you've got guys like Heyman, guys like Jeff Probyn, you know, these are mega, mega, mega players. And all right, Jeff Probyn didn't run and tackle and do all the stuff that Tyke Furlong does, but it's a different age. He was there to be a destructive tight head, and he was very destructive. So, yeah, you've got Kobus Fisaki, you've got these world-class guys that played a different game then. So it's never as simple as
it's all
saying,
relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like saying, would Anthony Joshua beat Mike Tyson? It's like, well, no. They're decades apart.
No,
you know?
No. But the Ireland team for the second test looked far more balanced. Rob Kearney was back at 15. Gary Ringrose, Robbie Henshaw, that partnership, Keith Earls. Johnny Sexton and Conor Murray, which are they the best two 9-10 combinations? They'd be up there with Smith and Barrett.
Yep. I don't think there's a lot between them.
No,
I don't think there is either.
I don't think there is either. Possibly ages with Smith and Barrett.
Yeah, but if you take the...
Did you see there was a tweet, a picture of Conor Murray and David Pocock on like an exchange program.
Yeah.
Yes. And they were both together, weren't they? They were only sort of in their teens.
Yeah, although Pocock looked about 35 with a broken nose. Yeah.
And Conor Murray looked a little bit bigger. A bit of water retention in him. But...
Lovely.
It was really good to see Pocock and Hooper back together as well.
Yeah. There's a brilliant clip that Charlie Morgan does loads of these clips. He's so good. And on Twitter, and the clip is of Pocock buying a penalty from Omani on the outside breakdown. He fakes to go into it. Omani flies in to clear him out. Pocock just moves out the way. Omani's got nothing to hit. Dives over the top. Yeah. Penalty. Genius.
It's so hard that. People just step back, don't they? You just fly over the top. And, you know, when you're going into contact, you're not bracing yourself. You're going in to wipe someone out, so you're going to be off balance.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so clever.
Very clever.
Bundyaki started the last test as well. I like Bundyaki. I like Robbie Henshaw. I like Bundyaki.
If you have to pick one?
I'd pick Henshaw.
Yeah, same. But I do like Bundyaki.
Yeah.
Is it that first 10 metres of acceleration that I think people don't expect?
It's how explosive he is as well. Yeah, he's a big bloke.
But he properly moves.
Yeah. But it was only one try apiece in that final game. Stander scored. But they just closed it out so well. It was quite touch and go towards the end there.
Touching cloth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But Johnny Sexton got absolutely folded up. And you think...
He was meant to be playing this Icons of Rugby event that's going on that I'm playing in Northern v Southern Hemisphere.
That golf thing.
Yeah, in the end of July. But I don't think he can now. I think he had a rib tickler and he's not allowed to play golf.
He got folded up,
which is
mate.
Such a shame.
He's a tough old
boy.
He got
bent like a pretzel.
Yeah. What's the folded up like an envelope? Folded up. Sorry, there was a really good one the other day.
Like an envelope.
There. Folded up like something you fold. I don't know. I don't care.
T-shirt.
Good on him. Tough bloke.
A t-shirt.
But I love Ireland winning that series. I absolutely love it because it's
huge. You know, the Grand Slam winners off the back of that into a tour of Australia, Southern Hemisphere,
win
that. Second in world rankings. Wales, I think, a third, whatever. But. We said this about like O'Driscoll, about Darcy, about Connell. How can they replace someone like Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton? But you know they will, though. You know they will. You know someone will come up into their shoes and take that mantle. But I think it just shows you how good Joe Schmidt is as a coach and what he does, how tactile he is. A lot of people talk about Lynn Jones as well, the ex-Ospreys coach, and say what a tactician he was. I never worked under him or with him. Which is a shame because I'd love to be able to comment on that. But load of the Ospreys players.
Say,
yeah.
Was he the crazy one?
Yeah.
He's the one who I told you was one of the lads I know went for an interview there about joining, and he was naked from the waist down behind his desk when he stood up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
We talk about him a lot.
I love that.
But yeah, you know, the New Zealand did away with France pretty easy. The Teddy Thomas red card. World Rugby have to look at that. They have to. There was one with Israel Folau.
Folau.
And I think it was CJ Stander, where Stander gets lifted. Folau jumps up. And, you know, he got yellow carded for that. What's the point of kicking the ball up in the air if you're not allowed to challenge for it? It's getting ridiculous now.
Yeah.
I think if there are going to be replays and VAR is going to get involved, that you have to look at players' eyes.
Yep.
They have to be off the ground.
Yeah.
And you have to look at their eyes. Because that
gives it away. VAR now, are you?
Yeah. It's been terrible. Like it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but that's what you get for trialing a revolutionary system at the World Cup.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, it's not been terrible. That they're showing replays. It's down to the ref's interpretation whether he wants to give it or not. He gave. Who did he give a penalty to? Iran.
Yeah.
And it was just. I think it was against Portugal. It was just the worst.
Oh, shocking! Absolutely shocking!
Ever.
Absolutely shocking! But quite good fun from the outside. But
they're just showing a replay. That it's the ref who's got to watch it and give it.
But it's coming home, isn't it? Football's coming home.
Won it, have you already? I love Roy Keane. Oh, my favourite. Roy Keane. So is Patrick Evra.
Patrice Evra.
Yeah,
because he did that really condescending clap to Alex Scott. That annoyed me a bit. I thought that was really bell-endish.
Was it condescending or was it just interpreted like that?
No. I looked at that and thought, no, you do not respect that person.
I love football.
But he's not
allowed to clap. And oh, mate, he's just been. Okay, regardless of that, take that aside. He's been really good.
No. It's funny because it's not because of that. I want him to tell me something. Yeah, he's fun. But like someone like Slaven Bilic? Yep. I said that right? Slaven Bilic. He's crazy, but he's got proper opinions. Ian Wright is like so emotional. I love Wrighty. I love Gary Neville. And Roy Keane is the best sports pundit in the world of any sport.
You have to have a balance, though. You can't have... And I thought that I think with Patrice Evra, I think they had a really good balance because he was sort of the funny, jovial one where they could bounce off a little bit, and then you'd get the insight from Neville or Ferdinand.
I haven't seen a huge amount of Evra, to be fair, but Roy Keane's the best sports pundit on earth. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. He just looks up for a fight at all times, and he does his best not to smile when everyone else is having fun. I love it.
If someone cracks a joke and they're all laughing, you're right, he doesn't want to let loose. He's like Sean Edwards.
Well, if I was ITV, he would be the first bloke I signed, and then I would sign everyone else. Gary Neville's the best analyst, I think, and everyone probably thinks that, or a lot of people would think that, but Roy Keane would be my absolute number one must sign and then work off that.
Yeah. Jerome Jenner's that I've really enjoyed as well. I think he's a really good analyst.
Jermaine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you began with a J.
Yeah, so
I love this thing they called football. Yeah. Yeah. It's been long enough, I think, mate. We've done an hour.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's no questions to ask because we didn't really tell you we were doing a pod.
No, I've got to go. I've got to go home anyway.
Snuck under the radar.
And I've got to tear a little hole in the top of the foil and tip a little bottle of beer in there for it to cook in for the last couple of hours.
Will the kids like that?
Yeah, be fine. Burn all the alcohol off. Give it a bit of taste. Be nice.
What will you have it with?
Veg? Well, I like to just have
veg,
barbecue sauce, and eat it with your hands.
Veg?
No.
No?
I can have some strawberries or something. I went to buy some strawberries from the shop yesterday, and it's half. Like they do little half punnets. Is that punnet? Yeah, half punnets. And I was like, oh, I'll have two of those then to make one normal punnet. Or is it a box or whatever of carton of strawberries? And she was like, it's £6. I was like, what, for two of those? Yeah, it's £3 for a half one. I was like, am I wrong in thinking that's extortionate? Because it's Wimbledon week. It's Wimbledon, isn't it? What? Yeah, it goes up. The wholesalers just whack all our strawberry prices up around Wimbledon. And I was like, it's mugs like me that pay it. And she's like, yeah. Yeah. So that's it. £6 for a punnet of strawberries,
basically.
They're
lovely, though, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you know what I did?
Unless they got white hair.
From Bod, my mate mentioned earlier, he brought me some bacon, the leftover bacon from my last pig that he had kept for me and butchered for me. And he brought me the bacon. So yesterday for lunch, I just had a whole packet of
bacon,
home-reared bacon, a punnet of strawberries and a punnet of grapes and a coffee. That was my lunch.
And there were you telling us that you eat more vegetarian food.
No, I do have days where I don't eat a lot of meat. Yesterday and today are not two of those days.
When you're in hospital.
Yeah. For gout.
Right.
Right, good luck to you. See you in
see you next season, guys and girls.
Are we definitely doing it?
We are.
Yeah, I know.
We're in.
I know. Let's do it. Bon été. That's French for goodbye.